During the winter of 1997, a rising river and mudslide threatened writer Amy Tan's cabin in California near Lake Tahoe. Rescue workers arranged for Tan and her husband, Lou DeMattei, as well as two neighbors and their pets, to be evacuated by raft. Here, Amy Tan reads part of her essay about the harrowing experience. It's from her new book, The Opposite of Fate, A Book of Musings.
At 3 o'clock, we were ready. We'd received lessons on how to swim in the rapids should we fall in. We put on helmets and life jackets, secured the dogs, and grabbed onto a rope to ease ourselves down the slippery slope. Below was the Zodiac raft, with two more sheriffs in wetsuits. The river looked less turbulent, and amazingly, the section right in front of our cabin had become, as the sheriffs told us, the most calm part of the entire river, the perfect place to put in. It was still raining. The dogs and cat were quiet. We took off.
Amy Tan gained best-selling status with her novels The Joy Luck Club and The Kitchen God's Wife, as well as her books for children, The Moon Lady and Sagwa, the Chinese Siamese Cat. The Opposite of Fate, A Book of Musings, is Amy Tan's first full-length book of nonfiction. She writes about the many, many dramatic events in her life. There have been so many that Tan considers herself a magnet for danger. This new book, however, began when a neurological condition finally was diagnosed as Lyme disease.
Lyme disease was the one that was going to threaten to take my brain away. I couldn't think with it, I couldn't write, and I had no idea what really was going on at the time for about 4 years. I thought I had dementia or Alzheimer's. I thought I was going crazy because I even had hallucinations. And as opposed to things that are near-death experiences, you feel when you don't know what this terrorist is inside your body that there's no way you have control, no way you can predict. It was, I think, the scariest thing that I've gone through.
This was scary to you because of the symptoms. Your father, your brother, your sister died from brain tumors. Your mother had Alzheimer's.
Yeah. My mother used to believe also that we were somehow fated to die, all of us, from brain tumors. And one of the things that the doctors wondered whether I had, when I had very unusual symptoms, was a brain tumor. So you can imagine how terrified I was when they put me in to that MRI chamber to look at my brain. They didn't find a brain tumor, but they did find 15 lesions in my frontal and parietal lobes. And those were, it turned out later, characteristic of a Lyme disease pattern of infection in the brain.
The stories that you tell, one of them is about writing your mother's obituary after she struggled with Alzheimer's. Her memories have become quite a bit of the threads that you use in the tapestries that you create, but your embroidery is that of a fiction writer. You're one who can create happy endings where there are none. A relative once scolded your mother. Why do you tell your daughter these useless stories? She can't change the past. Your mother believed you could change the past.
She thought that I could change it by telling everybody. She said this was a shame that I couldn't get off my back. My mother had been raped. She was a concubine. No, you know, to everybody, she was just had a sad life. She died. She killed herself. So what? And by my telling this story, people cared, even though they didn't know this woman, and she felt that now, because people knew what had happened, how she had suffered, and how my mother had suffered as a consequence, that that was changing the past. You know, people now had compassion for her. It changed the past for me, too, because I could finally understand what had driven my mother for so many years to have these suicidal tendencies, and where a lot of her fears lay in my eventually losing her as a mother, starting at a very young age. She used to often say to me, you know, one day I may be dead, and then you have no mother.
She died 4 years ago?
She died 4 years ago on November 22nd.
And you're going to be marking the anniversary making dumplings, pot stickers.
Yes, yes. She was an incredible maker of pot stickers. And she was very particular that the skin had to be so thick, but not too thick. And we make these dumplings now on the anniversary of her death, and then we criticize each other and say, oh, you know, we just can't make them the way Mom did. And that's our way of telling her that we really miss her.
All permutations of changing fate are really one thing, and you narrow it down to hope. Hope was something
Yes.
that kept you alive, that kept your mother alive for as long as she stayed alive. Your definition of fate, how has it changed?
Well, I realize that fate and faith are similar in ways if you believe that it is a higher power that is in control of what is going to happen in your life. And all the things that my mother believed in, I thought, were really related to this notion of Chinese fate. And yet she never gave up trying to defy the curses and the fate that was given to her. She decided she could make my brother and my father become well. She would find the miracle, and instead of their dying of brain tumors, she exhorted the doctors to try new chemotherapies, and she spoke in tongues, went to religious groups. She hired geomancers to check out the feng shui in our house to see if we could change things, and that would cure them. And all of that, when I was growing up, made me think that she was simply crazy and difficult. And it was only until I was older that I saw how determined she was for the people she loved. And I think that I have learned to do the same thing, that there certainly is an amount of self-determination in everything we do, but that we also have the lucky accidents and the people who help us and perhaps divine intervention that makes us have a kinder fate in life.
In the kitchen, God's wife, you write, if you can't change your fate, change your attitude.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of that that's gone on in my life. You know, I used to look at my life as in terms of this being this magnet for danger and having all these terrible things happen, my best friend murdered, and I felt very unlucky for a while. And then I realized, you know, in spite of all those things, all the car accidents, the near drowning, the robbery, the gun to my head, and the mudslide, I stayed alive. You know, many of those things were situations that others would have died in. And so really, in fact, I was a very lucky person.
Luck and fate have both landed Tan in unusual company. Rock Bottom Remainders is a band with writers Stephen King, Dave Barry, and other literary scribes. It was meant to be a joke, but it's lasted 12 years. The band even released a CD, Stranger Than Fiction.
We're a band, though, to be seen and not necessarily just seen and heard, because then you see how silly we are on stage and that we don't take ourselves too seriously. And that there's a lot of laughing going on.
You don't mind if we just play a little of these
oh, no.
boots and, or me for walking. You don't
oh,
mind
dear.
That, do
there
you?
There goes my reputation.
You keep playing where you shouldn't have been playing. And you keep thinking that you'll never get burned. Ha! I just found me a brand new box of matches. To learn. These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days, these boots are gonna walk all over you.
Amy Tan, her new book is called The Opposite of Fate, a Book of Musings, and she joined us from our studios in Seattle, member station KUOW. Amy, thank you very much.
Thank you.